Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time of worship, God, which is so moving to our hearts, so necessary for the preparation. Thank you for stirring our hearts during the worship. Thank you, God, for using Matthias so mightily tonight, God. And thank you, God, for the prayers that we prayed, God. We lift them up to you. And if there's any that we forgot, God, we lift them up to you that you would, as your word says, answer them speedily, God, that we wouldn't leave anybody unprayed for who needs prayer, God. And now, by the power of your word, change us, mold us, shape us, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us knowledge. God, we need your word. You have the words of life. We have no place else we can go. So please, Father, send your spirit upon us now. Undo us and put us back together. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. We're more than halfway through now. And if you've not been here, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book of instruction, of exhortation. It's a book of examples. It's a book of obvious wisdom. We're going to look at some things tonight that just are. And funny that the proverb writer, moved by the hand of God, doesn't comment on some things. He just leaves them out there. And you must decide for yourself whether it lines up with the rest of Scripture. Why is that important? What is the best way to interpret Scripture? With Scripture. Sometimes you read something in the Bible and you're like, yeah, that sounds contradictory to something else. That is not the Bible making a contradiction of instruction. It's making an example of something that is wrong. Like reading the book of Ecclesiastes. You're reading the thoughts of somebody who has lived a long time in many not so great circles. A man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines. A man who knew the pleasures of the flesh, knew the pleasures of alcohol, knew the pleasures of drugs. And some of the things he says, they aren't instruction to do, they're wisdom to learn from. And you'll find some of this in the book of Proverbs. Why is that? Well, it's the same guy that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs. But, lest I start to confuse you, let's get to Scripture and let it interpret itself. Let me find a pair of glasses somewhere. Why are there still glasses down here? Look at the glasses that I have to choose from. Why don't these get thrown away? And I have one pair that's just, all it is like glass. It's I got them. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Verse 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now, the implication is that perverse person has a lot of money. So again, a lot of times when you're reading, there's insinuations of things that you're supposed to learn from. A lot of the Proverbs that we read, it's almost like a little bit of gas in a dry carburetor. It's like kick-starting your mind. It makes, oh, what does that mean? I remember first reading the Bible and wondering to myself, wow, this guy was deeper than me. I remember reading the Bible for the first time and not knowing that. How many of you guys here thought that you were like deeper than everybody else? You had all these great thoughts and they were so deep. And then you talk to somebody else. Oh, wow, you have deep thoughts too. That's crazy. And then when you start to read the Bible, like, yeah, I guess my thoughts weren't that deep at all. Because these guys thought deep thoughts. Johnny? You ever come up with like an idea you think is brilliant, then you got to Google it and see if it's been out there for years? Oh, my goodness, yeah. I came up with this thing one time. It was called Facebook. Because somebody already did it. It's crazy. I wasn't making funny, but I was just agreeing with you. I was just trying to make a stupid joke about it. Sorry. So obviously, it's better to be poor and to have integrity than to be rich and just be a perverted fool. Right? 2, also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. Is an interesting thing here Because although they seem like two completely separate thoughts, keep in mind something that they are. Knowledge is something that takes, for instance, how many of you guys are college graduates? How long did it take you from grade school to graduating college? I mean, when I graduated high school, I couldn't believe it. When I got my black belt in jiu-jitsu, it took 8.5 years. Don't be in a rush. Getting knowledge sometimes takes some time. I know some people that come into church, they get saved, and, oh man, I'm going to be the next pastor of this church. Whoa, cowboy. Whoa. Be careful what you wish for, first of all. Second of all, I got a better idea. Why don't you just show up? You know what I mean? Why don't you just get here? So again, now, with that little bit of wisdom, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he who sins hastens with his feet. They just passed a law about 2 years ago that in order to handle venomous snakes, you have to have 1,000 hours experience with each family of snakes. And now, when I first moved down to Florida, in order to get your venomous snake license, it was $5. You sent it into the state, and they sent back to you a venomous permit. And that's how you... And they just hoped that you knew what you were doing. Now, I would say that sometimes there's overreach, but think about it now. We have some people that come in and they volunteer. We have this one guy that comes in and he volunteers, and he's been working now with cobras for the last 8 or 9 months. He comes in 3, 4, 5, sometimes more hours a day. And you could ask him, do you think this was worth it? Man, just getting in here and working with them, just seeing how they work and seeing what moves they make and seeing that each one is different and realizing the danger that's before you is, you guys understand? This is life. The hardest thing I've ever had to do was when I do a premarital class with a man and a woman. And I tell them all the things. In case you guys don't know, we do premarital classes here. It's about 6 to 8 classes, and we go through everything. We go through relationship and finances, expectations. We go through the you-know-whats. We do everything. And every single time, I just want to get married. They either want to get married for one or two reasons. Number one, either they won't feel guilty about having sex anymore, or they won't have sex. And I tell guys these things. I say, listen, here's the thing. Let me give you a little advice here. Don't leave the door open when you go to the bathroom. Make sure you put the seat down. Don't fart in front of each other. It's just nasty. It's just, oh, no, we got it. We're cool. Like, and I'm okay. But count on it. A few years down the road, we'll be in my office. And you know what he does? He farts in front of me, and then he wants to get intimate. She didn't care. I told you she would eventually care. Eventually, she cares about everything, bro. It's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he who sins is one who hastens with his feet. I'm just in a rush. Don't be in such a rush. It's Ken Graves. He tells this great story. He says he walked in. He took his wife out to a restaurant to eat. And one time as he was leaving, on the way out from the door of the restaurant to the car, he said gas exited every part of his body. Everything it was, lifting one leg, everything, just getting out of that restaurant. And he says as he sat in his car, as his wife was walking around the other side, he saw her kind of lift her head up and shake her eyes. And he said, God knocked on his heart and said, hey, boy. This is how God talks to him. Boy, you were just more respectful to the waitress in the restaurant than you were to the woman who I gave you to spend the rest of your life with. And he said, from that day on, he didn't do that stuff anymore. And if you one day ever get the chance to hear him tell some of the extremes that he has gone to avoid those things, there's nothing that can prepare you. However, verse 3, the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Verse 3 is very near and dear to me, and I'm going to tell you why. When you come to the Lord, the first desire you have is to do everything right, to do everything holy. I want to please God. But there's this weird thing that happens after 5-7 years. It's almost like you go, I got it from here, God. You go into almost like a cruise control. And then for some people, they don't realize. I heard one time a pastor say, if you are on your way from New York to Los Angeles and you're 2 degrees off, you wind up in Hawaii. Aren't you glad that God isn't like that about heaven? Because if you're 2 degrees off, you might miss the whole thing. You got it? Listen, stay on course. Remember the basics. Because as soon as you realize that you've gotten off course, the foolishness of your heart has twisted your way. And the byproduct will be anxiety, depression, and a Christian ought not be these things. We have too much waiting for us. We have too much promises from God's word. We have far too many good things for us to let our hearts take us off course. And then, man, how did you get here? I got foolish. I got lazy. I got complacent. I thought I was okay. You guys understand what I'm saying there? Be careful with that. 4, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. Again, one of those observations. It's not good nor bad. He's not making a judgment call. This is an observation. Let me paraphrase it for you. Let me put it into your... You notice how rich people got a lot of friends? But even the one friend that poor people have, they don't really care about him. Now, you understand why I said that. Wasn't intended to confuse at first, but some things are just observations as they are. They're not good nor bad. Well, you might say, well, I think it's wrong for people not to be friends with poor people just because they don't have a lot of money. Well, I agree with you, so don't be. That simple. But you understand why this is more of an observation? Hello? Okay, thank you. Thank you. You guys are still stuck on verse 3. I understand, me too. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. A false witness. Now, anybody know what it is to bear false witness? To tell somebody a lie about what somebody else did. I think this is a pretty obvious verse. We don't have to expound too much on it. Verse 6. Many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Now, you'll notice that with each proverb, there seems to be a running theme. Sometimes it's a tight-knit theme. Sometimes it's a loose-knit theme. But let me explain some of these words to you. The word entreat, it's one of those lost English words. It means to speak complimentary toward, to speak well of in front of them. If I am entreating my brother, Todd, bro, I'm so glad when you're here, man. We miss you when you're not here. Sunday, bro, wasn't the same without you. I'm entreating him. I'm complimenting him. Many entreat the favor of nobility or royalty or rich people or powerful people. Many people will tell rich people how great they are. And every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Man, be nice to that guy, man. One time he showed up and gave cars away. Everybody loves Oprah Winfrey, doesn't they? You got to be in the audience one time to get a free car, right? Verse 7, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. Again, another observation. Again, you see this running knit theme. It's a funny thing. If the brother of a poor person hates him, His friends don't want nothing to do with him, right? He may pursue them with words, but yet they abandon him. You know what people want? Because every man's a friend, the one who gives gifts, right? Again, more observations. He does this more. This is a very observatory set of verses here, this proverb. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Getting wisdom is no easy thing, and there are many verses that talk about the wisdom that is drawn out of wise people's hearts. You must find wise people. One of the lost arts in our society is talking to old people. Old people, they're kind of nasty. They kind of smell funny. They kind of do and say crazy things. Old people are just... anything older than Marty. Marty's like he's on the line after him. But let me tell you something. If you have understanding of how to draw wisdom out of an old person's heart, to talk to them and tell them, you might have to pay for lunch. You might have to endure some old stories. But oh, you'll get nuggets, man. You'll get nuggets. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Yeah, but I don't like old people. You're going to be one someday. Some of us, if we make it. You guys see that? Very, very interesting here. Man, don't be afraid. Listen, I've told you before, Dot, I just love talking to her. She drops, every once in a while she drops a nugget. She don't even know she said it. I said, I'll just take that. That's mine. I'll put that right there. She doesn't even know when she says it. She doesn't know I've been manipulating her all this time to get wisdom. You talk to Papa. I know it's hard. When Papa was here and he sits back there, guy can't hardly talk. I mean, you get one out of 15, 20 words he says. Kind of drools, man. The guy's had Parkinson's for almost 20 years. You get him talking. You get some wisdom from that. That dude has worked his whole life, man. That's a fighter. That is the toughest. That guy is tougher than a bar of steel. And you only find out by trying to talk at him. You're like, yeah, but I get uncomfortable when I talk to people and, you know, I don't. They understanding. Figure it out. Where the wisdom is. Wisdom is not in the wealthy. It's in the aged. Wisdom comes from those who have lived it, who have done it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that are just old and fools. They're old fool, you know. It's like, I think it was, I'm sorry to quote this. It's from Sanford and Son. You know what's worse than an old fool? A young fool. You ever see that woman? How many of you guys watch Sanford and Son? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay. What was, Edith. She one time, no, Lamont. No, you know what? It was Fred Sanford was trying to get rid of Esther. Esther said, I'm getting out of this house because all you are is an old fool and a young fool. I remember that show anyway. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Wait a second. Didn't I already read that? No. He says it again. And you will find this in the Bible. Guys, I'm going to drop a little hint at you. When you start reading the Bible on a regular basis, you're not going to understand this. But when God says something once, he really means it. If he says something twice, he means it even more. There are some things in the Bible, like whole sections of Scripture, like, I swear I read that. I swear I read that. And when you go over and over again, you realize that I forget what the Psalm 60 and Psalm like 40, I forget what number it is. Like there's a whole body that's the exact same thing. I will cast my shoe over Philistia. Of Edom is my washpot. Moab is my, and I'm like, wait, I saw that before. And you will see that over and over again. You know, there's a verse that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you realize that occurs 12 times in the Bible? And you'd be like, I saw that before. That's usually a good stuff to pay attention to. So here, he says it pretty close together. From verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished. Verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who speaks lies will perish. He just said the same thing over again. You know why? He meant it. He meant it. 10, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less a servant to rule over princes. It's a new running theme here that you're going to see about foolishness in the Bible. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. There's an interesting thing there now, guys. Keep something in mind now. You need a little background here. When you are an employee at a business and you see the guy that owns the business and you think to yourself, what a lucky stiff, what a luck, this guy's so lucky. How did he get this business? He lucky. It's the whole movement we have going on in the country with socialism, where they should share the property, they should make the decisions. You have no idea what the owner of the company went through to get where he is. You have no idea what he does during the day. You have no idea that he does not lay down at night without the burden of his business on his heart. You have no idea that he wakes up at 3 a.m. You have no idea. And this is the paraphrase of what he's saying here. He wasn't, and now he used the rationale, he used the example, the symbol, because he was the king, keep in mind. The guy that wrote this was the king of all Israel. His name was Solomon. He was David's son, and he ruled over. And he looked at the princes, and the servants looked at the princes, and you're lucky. You're lucky you're a prince, man. I could have been born in his family. I'd have been. You sure? Is that what you want? You know what happens when the kingdom is taken over by another king? You know what happens to the princes? You sure? Being a prince, listen, it might be better to be a doorkeeper than to be a prince. You guys understand what he's saying? So he wasn't putting servants down. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. I want you to know that verse 11 of chapter 19 of the book of Proverbs is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. He says this over and over and over again. The Lord Jesus told multiple parables about it. Listen to me. The Lord Jesus says this one parable. He says, if your brother offends you, I want you to go to him alone, one-on-one. Tell him, hey, you know what? Tell her, sister, you know, you said something, you did something, you were a part of something that hurt me. He says, if that person that you just did that to receives you and asks for forgiveness, you've just gained a brother. If that person doesn't hear you, I want you to get 2 or 3 other people and confront that person again. If they don't hear them, then I want you to go to the church and have that person brought before the congregation. Now, everybody likes to either not do that verse at all or do that verse, well, I went to him one-on-one. Yeah, but that's not where it ends. You can't just go to him one-on-one. You see, once you step onto that verse, it's like a moving escalator. You have to follow it all the way. You can't, well, I confront him, they didn't listen, so what'd you do? Well, I went and gossiped about him. Oh, that's just fantastic. I'm sure God was really well pleased with that. Ryan, what does that have to do with this verse? Guys, this is the alternative. This is a much better alternative. Guess what? Forget about it. The old Italian world, you know what they did? Forget about it. I'm not going to forget about it. They forget about it. Something that in Italian and Jewish culture, they just cannot do. Just forget about it. Well, they said, they did, they looked, they touched, they borrowed, they If you want to know what the glory of man is, it's to overlook a transgression. That's your glory. That's your all. That's the best. Why? Anybody? Take a stab at why? Why is that your glory? Because that's what he did. He overlooked our transgressions because of the death of his only son. So you have two options. Overlook the transgression, confront the person, confront him with two or three, bring him to the church. Anything else is from the enemy. You guys understand that? Guys, do you know how many churches would still be together if people just followed this one verse? Do you know how many church splits I've seen? Do you know how many people on a weekly basis leave churches because that person upset me, that person said this, this. Well, did you talk to them? No. Why not? Well, I sent an email to the pastor. Where did you get that from? So-and-so told me to do it. Terrific. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Discretion makes him slow to anger, good. Overlook a transgression, better. Continuing. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Again, I didn't do 12. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Now, we use the boss as an example because we don't have, well, you know what? We do kind of have a king now. It's kind of weird how that's turned out, right? Listen to me. Anybody you see on TV, on Fox News, anybody you see on any one of these political commentators who are more conservative in their beliefs, not me. These people play for keeps these days. You know what's happened to the people that were on former President Trump's team? Jail, prison, bankruptcy, convict. Listen, the king's wrath, it's like the roaring of a lion. Have you ever seen a lion roar? You want to do something really fun? There's a YouTuber. His name is the Lion Whisperer. He's this absolutely insane South African. Anybody here see him beside me? This dude's crazy. He finds lions as cubs. He raises them up and then he releases them into the wild and then he goes back into the wild and sees them. These videos of him playing soccer with his lions. I'm telling you, you sit there and just like, this guy's crazy. How is he not dead? And there's a couple of videos where he's sitting there and all of a sudden a lion starts to roar, and it's so loud, and he's like, what are you doing, mate? You know, like, it's intimidating. The king's wrath, it's like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. And you guys know what that means? Now, I want you to picture Florida. Actually, how many of you guys have been to Oklahoma? Sucklahoma, yeah, that's what we call it. Okay, here, you guys that have never been to Oklahoma, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and set your oven on like 350. Leave it there for about an hour, and then open it and stick your head in it. That's Oklahoma. It is so dry. Literally, you go home the night, you're there one time. White folk, do you know what ashy is? Okay, Italian and black people know what ashy is. White folk usually don't. Ashy, what's ashy? If you look at an Italian person or a black person, we get this white film on our skin. And you have to get oil and rub it in. And that's why if you look at Tony, he's always shiny because he's good about oiling up. Because you don't want to walk around ashy. Dew on the grass, keep in mind, in the Middle East, if you had a little patch of grass somewhere, you go over there and you wipe your hand on that dew, You rub it on your head, rub it on your, oh man, it's the only way you can cool off. And the only way I can explain it, if you've ever been to Oklahoma, I mean, me and Austin and my son were in Oklahoma a couple of years ago, walking around the city, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. You, literally in 15 minutes, your lips are like, I gotta go get some babe butter. This is ashy all over again. You guys got it. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Yeah, I don't want to go too far into the foolish son thing, but guys, I was a foolish son for many, many years, and it was nonstop lawyers and nonstop arrests and nonstop hassles for my parents. I put them through the ringer. And I was. Me and my brother were both the ruin of our parents. So younger folk here, don't do that. Older folk here, my heart is with you. The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have a prudent wife, say amen. 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 I don't know what you're talking about. Go home your own house tonight. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Okay, you all here and you're single. Most important quality of your spouse is what? Anybody know the answer to that question? Most important quality, it is the same for everybody. Most important, single brother here, single sister here, what is the most important quality in your potential spouse? Who said loves the Lord? That's right. If they love you more than they love God, don't marry them. It won't last. But that spouse that you find loves God more than they love you, you'll be safe your whole life. You guys got that? A prudent wife, and I will add, a prudent husband is from the Lord. Don't be in a rush. You don't need Christian mingle. Just at the right time, God's going to show up. Don't you worry. And you single people, pastor's looking for you. Don't worry. I got you. I got you. I'm looking. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Laziness is an affliction. It's a habit. What is it about some kids that they just, like, look. How many of you guys have ever had this conversation? Listen, this is your house. You live here. And the tissue that you just blew your nose with is 3 inches from the garbage can, which means you blew your nose and you went like this, and you missed, and you were too lazy to get out of bed and put it in the garbage can. This is your house. We have a saying in our house. If I get one pushback, one grief, if I hear one complaint about having to unload the groceries out of the car because mom bought too many, I flip my crap on you. There is no worse attitude that a person can have than to not want to put the groceries away. You eat them. Somebody else supplied them. The least you can do is move them. Am I wrong or right? Parents that look in your, what does your checkbook say? Publix, 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 Walmart, Walmart, Aldi, wherever you shop. Oh, you know what I mean. An idle person will suffer hunger. There's so many verses about that. One of my favorite verses is the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The lazy man will be put to forced labor. Because lazy people, no matter what you ask them to do, I don't want to. Right. Wait till you're 50. Don't start, Karen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Old Testament has slavery and welfare, and it's beautiful and it's perfect. The word, both of those words have been stolen and used poorly, but in the Old Testament, slavery was when you went to somebody's house and you said, hey, I lost all my money, I made stupid mistakes, I've been a drunk, whatever, I'll be your slave. And that person, according to Scripture, was supposed to give you a place to sleep and give you a job to do. And then after 7 years, you were supposed to free that person. Let them go. Give them their maidservants, give them their men servants, give them some of your flock, if they've worked for you. But their crime of foolishness and laziness and maybe whatever else was punishable by 7 years of having to work for somebody else. But it was incumbent upon the person they had worked for to now let them go free. Now, that person could become what's called a bond slave or a bond servant, where they would take their ear, put it against the doorpost. They would take an awl, which is a pointy screwdriver, and they would tap it through the ear. And then they'd give them a gold ring, and you'd put it in the ear. And that gold ring would signify that I'm not a slave, I'm a willing slave. And the interesting aspect of this is, now what's left on the doorpost? Blood. What are we called to be? Bond servants of Christ. Our very present, his death and blood on the cross gave us our freedom from the servant, from being slaves to sin. You see how that works? It's good. And she, like she just said, welfare was the poor were to glean. When your property was given in the Old Testament, it was given in the form of a square. And the servants were supposed to take everything in a circular motion. And what was outside was what was called left to glean. And the poor and the hungry would glean. You weren't supposed to pick everything up. Leave it on there. Let the poor have it. That was a form of welfare. Well, if that's what you want to be, if you want to go somebody else instead of having your own, you can do that, but you're not going to get it for free. Unless, of course, you want to vote for the Democrats, in which case, then we'll give it to you. Bada-bing. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. We've talked about this, verse 16, we've talked about it, how God has certain laws in place, and he doesn't break the laws. And we're not talking about the options to be holy. We're not talking about the options for to obey the commandments. We're talking about if you will tithe a percentage of your income, God will bless your finances. That's the law. That will not change. There's no excuse. There is no way around it. He don't stop. He won't suspend it. No man is a debtor to God, the Bible says. If you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to have problems in your relationship. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. You should not take what was meant for two and make it, I'm sorry, went for one and make it for two. It's a selfish motive. And that doesn't work. People come here, we're living together, we can't get along. Well, of course, God can't bless a mess. Yeah, but it's the law. You can't break that law. And there's a few of those things. There's a few of them. And this is exactly what he's talking about here. You keep the commandment, you keep your soul, but you're careless of your ways, You're going to die. You're going to die. I could sleep with as many people as I want. It was nice knowing you. You guys got the point there. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. You see that? Giving to God always ends up with God giving back to you. And he, if you notice the word he there is capitalized H, speaking of God. Man, have some pity on somebody, you know, a little less. Well, can I count that as a tithe? No! Give alms to the poor. Don't even let your right hand know your left hand. Just give him. Yeah, but he's probably going to use it on drugs. Man, pray for him that his stomach gets sick if he goes. But buy the guy a bag of groceries. You know, you got a neighbor that's hurting. Yeah, do something for somebody beside yourself. I say respectfully to you. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. The opposite verse is, a child left to himself causes shame and brings reproach. We looked at that already. Listen, chasten your son. This doesn't say beat your son. This doesn't even say spank your son. Teach him lessons well. Now, there are other scriptures about spanking. This is not one of them. Chastening is not a spanking. It's a lesson learned for good and bad behavior. And here, this proverb, and goodness knows how many kids this dude had. Psh, forget about that. If you teach them lessons, good and bad, you give them hope. But not doing it, you're just setting him up for destruction. Listen. At one point we had his ministry here. What was the name of that ministry we did with the kids, with the Yanceys did? Base 1-5. It was for kids that were like just above toddler, first grade through fifth grade. And right there, we could see, we look and say, hey, look, let me tell you why I called you into the office. You're going to have problems with this kid. You got to do something about him. Oh, he's just high-spirited. Listen, you're going to have problems. I don't need your help raising kids. Okay. Had to do what I had to do. Some of us here that have kids, better get a grip on yourself. Ask somebody, hey, are you seeing something wrong? Ask somebody, man, talk to me about my kid. How can I help? Can I get some help here? Single moms especially. But if you don't chasten them, sorry about that, my fingers. If you don't chasten them now, if you don't set up their lessons, oh, you're going to have problems. And we that are on the outside, we're not. Our eyes aren't blinded by a foolish love. We can look and see you're going to have a problem. It's obvious to see. You guys feel me? Yep. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you have to do it again. This is one of my favorite verses to tell parents. One of my favorite verses of parents who have adult children. Oh, can you help me? My son got arrested. What are you going to do? I got to bail him out. Don't you do that. Why? Because you'll just have to do it again. A man who can't control his temper is going to constantly get in trouble. You know where he needs to be? Alone in a jail cell. I can't believe you're not going to bail me out. Not a chance. Why? Because this is 19th time. You guys understand this? Guys, this works for husbands too. If your husband does something stupid, like puts his hands on you, and you don't call the police, the snake don't get smaller, he gets bigger. The devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Do you know how many sisters I've had in my office now? You gotta call the police. I don't wanna get him in trouble. And I go, you're on your own then. Because I'm not gonna sit here and watch you die. Because you are going to get hurt. He's going to hurt you. A little crack in the mouth, little push, a little backhand. He didn't mean it. He was drunk. It was my fault. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And here's the worst one I hear, and I hope I'm hitting somebody here. Who's going to want me if he's gone? Look at me. I have kids. I'm fat. I'm ugly. So you're just going to take his abuse. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. How many times do we have this verse in the Bible? It's probably 100+ times that we read this. He who listens to instruction, he who hears a wise counsel. Over and over again, this is just another way he put, I could see God in heaven going, say it this way, Solomon. Now say it this way, Solomon. Now say it this way, Solomon. Solomon going, God, how many different ways do you want me to say it? Every possible way. Because people don't want to listen. Now, obviously, I jest. I mean no irreverence toward God when I say that. But do you know? Now listen. If you're new to Scripture here, and if you're new to our church especially, please, from my perspective, right here, sitting here, reading the Bible to you guys, especially the Proverbs, it might seem like I'm condescending. Oh, look at Mr. Know-it-all, knows everything. I don't. I'm as convicted on every one of these things as you are. I just have the benefit of being able to stand up here and speak in a downward trajectory. But please understand, I don't have any of this stuff down. I'm doing the best I can. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to get some food. Okay? Please don't be like, I can't believe you speak. I don't mean to. I'm trying to do it with some attitude. I'm trying to do it with some instruction so that you receive it. But every one of these things is as convicting to me as it is to you. Every one of them. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. So important, verse 21, and we can spend 2 hours on this, but I'm only spend a minute. You have an idea of something you want to do. There's three ways to confirm it. You have an idea for a business. You have an idea for a move. You have an idea for a new job. You have an idea for a marriage. You have an idea. There are many plans in a man's heart. Now, this is one of those words. Doesn't just mean man. Means woman also. Number one, pray on it. How does the Lord lead your heart? Understanding this, though, if it's something you really desire, your heart is going to lie to you. Well, I really feel like it's the Lord. Yeah, really? Marrying a very wealthy man is the Lord, huh? Let's hope so, but let's continue to flesh this thing out, shall we? You guys understand what I'm saying? Well, I got offered this job and it's a lot of money. Well, what do you got to do? I got to move away. You're going to leave your church that loves you? You know, is another church? I'm sure I'll be able to find another church. Yeah. He who gains the whole world and loses his soul gains nothing. Right? Number two, get wise counsel. Get wise counsel. Come and talk to somebody. Now, that doesn't mean you go find somebody who tells you what you want to hear, because that's most of the time what we do. Well, my mother said that he was a really nice guy, and since he's Catholic, I mean, he's like a Christian. Yeah, no. Come and talk to somebody who maybe will tell you something you don't want to hear, right? And three, and probably most important for my money, have a Bible verse about it. You know, the Bible says, he who finds a prudent wife is from the Lord. And this woman is so prudent. And I really believe that the Lord spoke to me about her. Hallelujah. I am with you 100%. Yeah, I don't think so, because you met her at a topless bar. She's going to change. Listen, let me let you know a little secret. Men get married hoping things won't change at all. Women get married thinking everything is going to change. Yeah. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. You know, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. That word technically means loving kindness. Ladies, if he's not kind to you before you get married, he's not going to get kinder after you get married. Guys, if she complains a lot before you get married, the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. That's all I'm going to say. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. This is a verse that I quote every single day. One of my family members, I pray this verse over them every single day. I love this verse. I believe this verse. I hope in this verse. I trust in this verse. I carry this verse. I pray it every day. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. If you are here and cursed with the curse of being unsatisfied, if you're here and you're cursed with the curse of not being happy no matter what you have, pray this verse over your own heart. And there are a lot of people like that. It's like, I don't know why. I just can't get happy. I don't get it. I don't know what's the matter with me. I don't know why my heart, I have joy, but I don't find satisfaction. Pray this verse over yourself. You will not be visited with evil. What a beautiful verse that is. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Let me tell you what lazy is. Here's lazy. You ready? Here's the picture. You have a bowl of food in front of you. Now Karen's watching me. She's gonna take a picture. I can't do it anymore. You ruined it. And Johnny's back there with his phone, see? Glad I can entertain you tonight. Imagine you have a bowl of food in front of you. And you're just too lazy to put your hand in it and put it back to your mouth. That's the visual. But let me give you the practical. This is a Bible. It weighs about 3 pounds. You bring it to church, and you bring it home. But you get it home, and it weighs like 3,000 pounds. It sits on the table, and you're like, I can't, the pages are too heavy. The lazy man. You'll carry this thing back and forth to church. But listen, aren't you sick and tired of my vomited up meals? I'm giving you my vomit. This is what the Lord has told me. If you take tonight's Bible verses home, if you read when you get home, Proverbs chapter 18 again, 18, right? 19. You'll get something completely different than what I told you. What I just told you about it, it's not the final outcome of it. It's not, I'm telling you what I've learned, God wants to show you something else. And the Proverbs, thankfully, they're like a diamond. They have more facets, more light shines from it. Light comes in one way, goes out seven ways. You grab one, you go, oh my goodness, I didn't see that. And you put it back in there and it comes. I'm not telling you these verses. You can get your own meal from God. In your own life, in your own way. Please, please take this verse to heart. Just a few more. Strike a scoffer and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge. Very interesting verse. He said, if you have a kid who's a scoffer, let me explain to you what was the most funniest thing in my house. Ready? My father would sit at the end of the table, and my older brother was right next to him. And my brother was a savage when it came to eating. And he used to what's called shovel the food. And my father used to say to him, stop shoveling that food. Stop shoveling that food. Stop. And it happened at least twice a week. Whack! I told you stop shoveling that food, right? Whack! But you know what happened after a while? My brother got what's called wary. Now, ask me why the kid didn't stop shoveling his food. I have no idea. It was just he was that stubborn. He was wary. He was wary of it. He was weary. W-A-R-Y. You with me? But if you rebuke one who has understanding, he'll get knowledge from it. Now, what he does is he uses the two completely opposite ends of this thing. He says, a scoffer, if you smack him enough, he'll get weary. He'll get wary. He'll figure it out. He'll duck it. But all you have to do is tell somebody with understanding something, they get it right like that. You understand how is a picture of two different people? Like, here's another verse that means the same thing, and we'll get to it. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, his foolishness will not depart from him. You could grind a fool. Look, they just don't get it. Some people, no matter how many times they're arrested, how many times they're in and out of programs, no matter how many times they ruin relationships, how many times they lose money, it's like, you guys just don't get it. You follow what I'm saying? Strike the scoffer and the simple become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, he'll discern knowledge, wisdom. Continuing. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Very convicting verse for me. I moved down to Florida when I was 22 years old, and I didn't talk to my mother and father for almost 2 years. There's some crazy thing that happens when you turn like 22, 23. You think like, you're in your early teens to early 20s, and although you hate your parents, it's all you know. You're surrounded by the culture of your life. But when you pass that, you all of a sudden get away from them, you move out of the house, you start to like see all their flaws all of a sudden. All of a sudden you know, oh, you guys were horrible to me. You did what? Yeah, well, we're all parents are dumb. We all make mistakes. We all swear we want to give better to our kids than we had, and none of us ever do it right. And then I remember hearing another correlating verse to this, honor your mother and father that it may be well with you. It's like, and I used to sit and argue with God, and he used to say, yeah, God, I'm not going to honor my mother and father. They didn't honor me. Yeah, I didn't put that as a stipulation in the verse. Honor your mother and father if they were cool to you. Honor them. Now, I didn't say you had to support them. I didn't say you had to go over their house. I didn't say you had to drop your kids off. Just honor them. Why? Mom, could I pay your phone bill for you? Why? Just, look, you raised me. Good or bad, hopefully I'll be a better parent, but I don't want to be like everybody else. And this was a time I had to come to, guys, where I had to realize I chased away my mother and father. I chased them away, and it was to my shame. It's my shame, and it took a long, long time to repair that. So I encourage you, if you've chased away your mother and father, honor them. I implore you, if you're in the part of that, look, no parent's going to be great. And we all got our stories about the things our parents did. Man, it's time to let it go. You know what an adult is, young people here? You know what an adult is? An adult, at no age, it doesn't matter what age, it's a person who no longer lets the past dictate the future. That's what an adult is. But I heard a pastor one time say, why do you think the rearview mirror is only this big and the windshield's this big? And stop looking back. Go forward. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. In my life, in my son's life, in every single kid's life, it's usually around 14, 15, you go from being a hero to a zero. You go from being the coolest, the strongest, the best, to just the biggest idiot in the world. Isn't it crazy? And here, Solomon is like, son, don't turn your back on me yet. I know I might have not been the best example in the world, but listen, if you stop listening to instruction, you're going to stray. You're going to stray from the words of knowledge, God's word. Kids, two favorite words. I know. I've taught my kids their whole life, I never want to hear those two words come out of your mouth under any circumstance, any situation. Don't ever let me hear you say, I know. You know nothing. I know nothing. We know nothing. All we know is that God loves us. Everything else is subjective. A disreputable witness scorns justice. The mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. This goes all the way back to the first verses we read. If somebody doesn't care whether they tell the truth or not, if somebody doesn't care whether they slander another person, if somebody doesn't care whether they lie about somebody else, they hate justice. There is going to be no justice for that person. Also, the mouth of the wicked, all they do is eat up sin. They eat it night and day. There's so much there. Let's not dwell. Lastly, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Think about it. Judgments are prepared for scoffers. What's a scoffer? Somebody who mocks decency and honesty. Somebody who, please. Judgments are being prepared for that person. And beatings for the backs of fools. Back in the day when they did corporal punishment, when grandma went out and got a switch off the tree, you go out and get me a switch off that tree, boy. And it ain't a good one, I'm going to pick a good one. How many of you guys have heard that one before? My wife told me what a switch was. I was like, a switch? What are you talking about? My father gave me a backhand or a forehand. One time my mother hit me with a broom. Does that make any difference? It's a switch. Go get you a switch off the tree, boy. What? Is that what it was? Why? Oh, it's not a whip? Oh, it had to get a whip on it, huh? Whoop you. I heard story, and I've heard this from multiple, that Haitian people, they get the iron and they wrap the cord in their hand, they start swinging that thing around. I've heard that multiple. Have you heard that too? Haitian people get up on that, boy, they get one of those extension cords and start. Standard procedure? The switch or the extension cord? Both?
Sometimes just bare wire.
Bare wire. Yeah, I think that falls under the category of assault and battery. A hammer? What are you talking about? You hit your kid with a hammer? You had a hammer. Where'd you hit him with it? Oh. Hey, Sean, is there a, what's the, no, what's it called? Is there a statute of limitations on hitting somebody with a hammer? Her husband was a cop, there you go, New York, right? Forget about it. Let's pray and thank the Lord for his word. God, we thank you so much for this time you've given us. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. Lord Jesus, may it sink into our hearts and our minds. God, may somebody that's here have learned something that you want from them, God. May this wisdom, may we not be like scoffers and become weary, but may we discern knowledge. Thank you, God, for this fun and great time we had. Your word is so amazing. God, who knew that you were so smart? God, forgive us for not. We love you and thank you and pray these things to the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.